This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show for this beautiful Wednesday in Northern California. It is Wednesday, June 28th. I can't believe we are already like almost done with June. This is crazy. Last show of June, which is the last show of the first half of the year of 2017. Pretty exciting and crazy that this year has just flown by as fast as it has. I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson here on very pleased and honored that you're taking the time to take a listen to the program today. Lots of exciting things to talk about today. Today we don't have a guest this week and next week. We don't have a guest. We're talking the teen brain. So we're going to put forth a lot of information about how to parent the teen brain, all about the brain personality connection of our teenagers and our adolescents and what's going on, what's not going on, what's wired, what's not wired, what extra things we need to understand to really maximize and enjoy this amazing time in the life of our children. I often tell people that the favorite time, the times of development in childhood that I liked the most kids were oftentimes what people would consider the most challenging or the ones that they didn't like the most, you know, the quote unquote terrible twos. I loved that age. I loved it. And the reason why I loved it is because I could just watch their brain developing. You could just see all the things that were going on in those first, you know, couple of years there, 2, 3, 4, when they're really starting to get a grasp on life and the world and kind of their own little personalities are starting to emerge. And I also, what can also be a very challenging time is the teen years. And I loved that time. I loved watching my kids begin to develop thought processes and views on the world that were so individually their own, and the way that they processed it was just, I loved that time. And that's why I'm passionate about bringing this information to my listeners and to the people who follow the Brain Lady here, because it's such an amazing time. And yet it can be a very challenging time. And a lot of those challenges that we as parents feel or experience during those teen years are connected to the brain development because of everything that's going on. I mean, there's a lot going on in the brain and there's a lot not going on in the brain. There's tons of neuronal growth. And then there's some pruning. I share a great quote. This is a Dr. Charles Nelson, University of Minnesota. Wait a minute. That's the second quote I want to share. The first quote is from Abigail Baird, a researcher at Vassar College and a member of the Dana Alliance Brain Initiatives. She makes the comment that we're finally getting our adult minds. So see, this is our responsibility as the adults. We're finally getting our adult minds around the fact that adolescence is a time when everything explodes physically and neurally. We always knew there were these great physical changes that took place. That's obvious, right? And yet there is also a ton going on in the brain. She goes on to say, we see that explosive growth and the gawkiness on the outside, kids shooting up with long, clumsy arms and legs, but there's the same gawkiness in the brain too. Everything is changing, and it is changing really, really fast. So when you see this and you understand, you begin to understand what all of this, what's taking place in the brain and what's happening, it gives you more insight on how to interact with your teenagers and how to just understand them more and understand what they're doing. And it gives us more tools to act like the adult. So great information that we're going to talk about today that we're going to share. A lot of this information, by the way, is also contained in the Your Best Mind Certification Manual. So if you are a coach or a consultant out there that is listening and you want to add this certification to your current list of certifications, think about it, especially if you work with parents or with adolescents, because it's some great information all backed up by this, you know, amazing neuroscience and brain scans and all that fun stuff. So that's going to be our topic for today. I also want to let everyone know that we started last week, kind of a new thing for the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. We started doing a Facebook Live immediately following the show here that we do live at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, Pacific Standard Time. And so at 10:15 a.m., so just a 15-minute break, give me a chance to get up, get a drink, make sure I don't need to do any final things before I go live. I go live on Facebook. And that will allow us a great opportunity as well to interact and get a lot of questions answered. It's not always easy to do that here on the live show when I'm running the back end of the production side. So we're doing it as a Facebook Live afterwards. So if you have questions and you want to ask them and they're not, or there's something that I've said on the show that's not quite clear and you want a little bit more input on it or explanation of it, then join us on the Facebook Live. The link for that is on Blog Talk Radio, our eWomen Network podcast network show page. So if you go to that show page, or you just go to www.brainladyspeaks.com, you'll see, you can look at the current show, The Parenting the Teen Brain Part 1, and the link will be there for where we're doing the Facebook Live. So that'll be a lot of fun. It'll give the opportunity for more interaction and to ask any questions that you might have regarding the topic. And yes, this is part one. We are breaking this up into two parts because there is so much information that neuroscience is helping us to understand. And some of it is the, you know, the growth of the brain and the pruning in different parts of the brain and the parts that are developed and the parts that aren't developed and so on and so forth. But there's also the huge changes that take place in the brain based on the hormones and those hormonal fluxes that go on during puberty and during the teen years. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to focus primarily on the hormones next week and give a lot of tips about parenting the teen brain next week's in part two. So if you like what's being talked about today, be sure to join me next Wednesday. That'll be Wednesday, July 5th, 2017, for part two of Parenting the Teen Brain. So let's just dive right into this. What is so different about the teen brain? This Charles Nelson that I wanted to, that I almost quoted earlier at the University of Minnesota, he said, I think the problem parents have is that once their kid becomes a teenager for a brief period of time, it's as though they've been invaded by another body. Another doctor who's on his same team, Dr. G-I-E-D-D, says we now know that there's a lot of dynamic activity, and in many ways it's the most tumultuous time of brain development since coming out of the womb. So at this point, Dr. Charles Nelson goes on to say that the cells and connections that will be used, that are used, will survive and flourish, and those cells and connections that are not used will wither and die. So there's a lot. It's very important to understand what we can do to help foster continued brain growth and stretching of those neurons. Remember, the brain is very neuroplastic, and it can develop beautifully great connections, great new learning of new techniques. It's so much easier before the brain is fully wired at somewhere around 23, 24 years of age. It's not even completely myelinated. I'm going to talk about that a little bit as we go through the show as well, that until you're about 30. So there's a lot of stuff going on. The first part of the brain that I want to mention, and I mentioned this, if you are the parent of a young child between the ages of conception and preteen, then go back and you want to hear information about that, those stages of development, go back and listen, find the episode. I think it was probably a month and a half ago, maybe, I did a program on that stage of development in the brain. And I talked on that show, so that'll give you some great tips. I talked on that show, I mentioned the prefrontal cortex. I cannot emphasize enough how important this prefrontal cortex is to survival and to functioning in day-to-day life. Some of the specific functions that the prefrontal cortex does, and this is just some of them, it's not limited to this list that I'm going to give you, but I'm going to give you the list that I think applies very, very importantly to when we're talking about the teen brain or the lack of the teen brain to have full access to the PFC or the prefrontal cortex. So this is that section of the brain that's right behind the forehead, okay? And it's responsible for things like reasoning, logical reasoning. It is responsible for judgment. It helps us to control our emotions, to control our impulses. It helps us to do future planning, to rationally think our way through situations, to do problem solving, whether it's fact-based problem solving or creative problem solving. It's all very highly active in this prefrontal cortex of the brain. It is responsible for decision making. As once we become adults, understanding consequences of actions. This is huge. So one of the main things that this portion of our brain, when we are looking at a problem or we are trying to make a decision about moving forward with a certain thing, whether it's going out to dinner tonight or taking the keys and driving the car after you've had a drink, it is this portion of the brain that is going to be able to very quickly factor out, okay, just how cognitive am I at this moment? Am I, you know, have I had too much to drink? What would be the consequences if I do drive? Am I okay? That type of thing. This is all takes place in this prefrontal cortex. Understanding of other people. So this is what's been called the executive function of the brain, or the portion of the brain that takes care of these executive functions. Lots of great things take place here. Processing irony is done in this portion of the brain. Taking and really logically sorting through information that comes in from the other parts of the brain and that routes. So your sensory input, your hearing, your sight, your taste, your kinesthetically, what you feel, all of those senses, when they take in all of this information, all of this data is kind of routed up to the prefrontal cortex, and the prefrontal cortex makes logical sense of all of this information. So it really is responsible for thinking ahead of time, the consequences of actions, impulses that may spring up from other portions of the brain. I'm going to talk a little bit about the amygdala today. We've talked about the amygdala as it relates to your physical health and the amount of stress that you carry in your life and how how chaotic your amygdala and out of control your amygdala can get. This is another portion of the brain that's very important to pay attention to during the teen years. And the prefrontal cortex is what helps to process that information. And, you know, without these critical, very critical functions up and running at full speed, children and teens, they're just not capable of processing information in the same way that adults do. And this is one of the reasons when they do something that just seems so absurd, it's so foreign to you. Because as an adult, you're going, wait a minute, why on earth did they just do that? That was the most idiotic thing that I've ever seen someone do. I've trained them better. I've taught them better. They know better. And yet they still do it. Well, now you can start to, after the show today, you'll really get a good, I mean, just simply knowing that they don't have a completely wired or developed prefrontal cortex is an amazing thing to understand. So as this portion of the brain is developing throughout those teen years and starting the wiring process, I like to kind of compare it to the fact that you've just built a house. It's a brand new house. You've got all of the wiring in, all of the lighting fixtures are in. But until you flip that breaker and you send electricity to the house or connect the main junction box, until you do that, you still can't turn on the lights. Everything is there, right? You even put light bulbs in all of it. You tested, you know, everything is ready to go. But until you flip that main breaker and send the electricity running through those wires, or in the case of the brain, running through those neurons, if they're not all connected, then you just don't have the ability to utilize that prefrontal cortex, at least not the same way that, of course, the adults do. So understand that the prefrontal cortex, it, in terms of brain cell growth, that peaks at about 11 to 12 years of age. So that means that at the same time that puberty is happening or starting for most children, the prefrontal cortex is rapidly producing dendrites. So it's peaking it's developing very, very fast. But then there's a pruning that takes place. And that pruning, how much pruning is done, is going to affect how much prefrontal cortex is left once it is completely wired, or once you're in your 20s and 30s and move on to adulthood. Another thing that needs to be considered too is the myelination. The myelination of the neurons, the myelin sheath is this white fatty substance that covers and protects the neurons in the brain. And you see the results of that not being developed well in individuals who have things like multiple sclerosis. It's when the myelin sheath at the end of a lot of your neurons, or a lot of your nerve endings, begins to deteriorate, and that's what causes so much physical pain. And in the brain, all of these neurons should be covered by this beautiful myelin sheet. And what that myelin sheet does is it covers and protects the neurons. Now, that myelinization does not complete until you're almost 30. So even once you have your prefrontal cortex in your early 20s, you can still short circuit, because the same as if you had two wires that were running through the wall in a house, if they're not protected by that plastic coating on the outside and the two metal parts touch, what happens? It sparks and you short something out and you flip a breaker, right? The same thing happens in the brain. This axons that are not completely myelinated can receive electrical interference from other cells. And what happens then is you have this short circuit. You can't logically think through everything, even if you're 25 and your prefrontal cortex is completely developed. If it's not myelinated, it can still short circuit. The messages also will travel slower through cells that are not completely myelinated, actually quite a bit slower. So the electrical charge, which that's all thought is just an electrical charge going from one neuron to another neuron. It's hard to wrap your brain around that. But the electrical charge runs in the, will travel 100 times faster in on a myelinated, a fully myelinated neuron than one that doesn't have this protection. So the myelination in certain parts of the teen brain may actually increase by 100% from the beginning of puberty to the end of puberty. So the activity in the prefrontal cortex of the adolescents, needless to say, is just a little bit complicated. That is the first portion of the brain that I want you to fully understand. And I'm going to do some practical examples and give you some really how this truly applies in interacting with your teen. But I want to talk about a couple of other areas of the brain before we get to that part that are also not completely developed that affect our interactions. So join me after the tunes, after the break, on the Brain
Lady of Brain Chemistry. Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. We are here talking about Julie Brain Lady here, talking to you about the teen brain and the development of the teen brain and the parts that are there and the parts that aren't quite done yet. So we talked about the prefrontal cortex, another portion of the brain that is still under development during this period of time in the teen years is the corpus callosum. Now, the corpus callosum, you've heard me talk about this before, especially when I talk about the difference between the male brain and the female brain. The corpus callosum is this major mass of connections that go between the right brain and the left brain, or the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere of the brain, I should say. During this period of time of the teen years, it's still under development as well, just like the prefrontal cortex. And really, this is that communication that goes from the right side of the brain that processes, tends to process emotion, experience emotion, and the left side of the brain, which tends to be more of the logical side of the brain. And interestingly enough, has the main language center in it. And this is really an important point that I want you to take away. The left side of the brain is the language center, the Broca's area of the brain, front left portion of the brain. It's also that processes more on the logical. Left brain thinkers, we've known for decades, even before we had these major scanning machines, that the left brainers tend to be more logical. That's just the way the brain is wired, not better or worse, just the way that the brain is wired. So what this means is if that corpus callosum is not completely developed, it's as if all of the lanes on the freeway are not open yet. Instead of having four or five lanes open, you've got one, maybe two. And that means it's going to be more difficult for the messages to move from the right to the left side of the brain and for that connection, that communication to take place. So it's going to be more difficult. The application of this is it's going to be more difficult for the logical side of the brain where the main language center is in it to receive the messages from the emotional picture side of the brain. This is most notable when this is why teenagers oftentimes can't express their emotions correctly. It's almost like they're feeling a certain emotion. They know what that emotion is subconsciously in their brain. They do, but to put it into words and explain it to you is as a parent, it's very frustrating to the child to the teenager, because they really, their brain's not communicating the emotion to the logic or into the word center, the language center fast enough. So it's really you know, you're really going to notice this when you give your child an instruction that they might not care for. Their instant reaction might be highly emotional, maybe even expressed with anger or tears or some snotty reply. Now, I'm not saying that that's acceptable behavior. You know, we all need to teach our kids to be, you know, respectful of adults and the way that they interact. But it helps you to understand as the adult what's going on in the brain. And when we understand what's happening in their brain, then our reaction, we can control our reaction and respond accordingly. So it's really going to help us to interact on a higher level. Okay, so that's corpus callosum. So we've got the prefrontal cortex, the corpus callosum. The next area of the brain that I want to talk about is the amygdala. Again, it's something that you hear me talk about a lot. It's something that is very important to understand in terms of the what goes on in the brain. And the amygdala is down in the what you would consider the subconscious portion of the brain. It's in the emotion center of the brain. It's in the limbic system. All right. Now, this is a portion of the brain that's responsible for your fight or flight, conserve, withdrawal kind of response, for arousal, for aggression, and for automated fear responses. It is also the integrative center for emotions, emotional behavior, and motivation. And it's important to remember that this section of the brain works lightning fast. Lightning fast. As a matter of fact, it processes information 80,000 times faster than your cerebrum. So 80,000 times faster than your thinking portion of the brain. This is why when we react, you know, when we feel an emotion, it sometimes takes us a few minutes to actually decipher, why did I just feel that emotion? What, you know, what just happened, right? And a lot of that's because that emotion center in the brain is working 80,000 times faster than the thinking portion of the brain. And in the adolescent, it is not functioning up to par. It's not completely developed. And it's not up to speed in the sense that it's because it can't, it's not connected to the prefrontal cortex, that critical wiring that goes from the prefrontal cortex to the amygdala is not there yet until you're in your early 23, 24 years old. So the amygdala will not always be able to process your brain. The brain of the adolescent is not going to be able to logically process the emotions that they feel coming out of the amygdala, and fear is one of the big things, and we've talked about the importance of fear or the importance of how the amygdala reacts with fear and not allowing that to overly stress you and so on and so forth. There was an interesting study that was done. Deborah Yorgalim Todd. I just love these scientist names. It's like, how on earth am I supposed to pronounce all of these names? She is a researcher at McLean Hospital outside of Boston. And she did a really interesting study which revealed the difference between how an adult perceives emotions compared to how an adolescent perceives it. And I thought this was just so fascinating when I read this experiment. What they did is they had subjects look at a series of people's faces, and they took adults and they took adolescents, teenagers. Each of the pictures that they showed them had a person expressing a different emotional state. And some of these states included anger, sadness, surprise, and fear. The subjects were then asked to identify the emotion of the people in the picture. And while they were doing this, they were attached to a functional MRI machine. And their brain was being scanned as this whole process was taking place in the brain. Let me get that study. I have all these white papers in front of me. So that we'll talk about that, the difference between what the results were of that. Brain scan showed that when adults stated what emotion was being displayed, guess what portion of their brain was the most active region? It was the prefrontal cortex, okay? So they were able to look at the expressions presented in the pictures, and then through the reasoning and perception of this prefrontal cortex, they were able to decipher and come to the right conclusion of what what the expression was on the face of the person that of the picture that they were being shown. And that's the portion of the brain that lit up. Now, completely different when they scanned the brains of the adolescents, because it was a different portion of the brain that was most active. Guess what? It was the amygdala. It was the home of fear and anger. So adults were able to use the rational portion of the brain to read the emotions, but the adolescents were using the very emotional portion of the brain to read the faces without the reasoning benefit of the prefrontal cortex. So are you starting to get the picture? Can you start to see what happens now? So this is going to help you to understand that you could possibly ask, you know, the simple question of your teenager, and that you could get some kind of highly emotional response. You know, you may say something like, you know, can you clean your room up now, or please take out the garbage. And yet, because they're looking at your face and they're processing the look on your face in the 80,000 times faster emotional section of the brain, they could possibly process that instead of simple request. They could look at your face and go, oh my goodness, she thinks I'm a slob, or he thinks I'm a slob. Why isn't my room ever clean? Or I'm so angry with you because you never do your chores. That's what their emotional brain could process when you simply ask them to clean their room and take out the garbage. Something that seems so simple and so logical to you comes across, because of the wiring that's not quite there in the brain yet, as something very emotional. So misreading the emotional expression can lead to really serious problems in a household or even in a classroom. You know, think about what happens in the classroom when an educator gives instruction or is answering a question from someone in the classroom. If they're misreading, they could take the expression, you know, you could have, as an adult, you could kind of, you know, crinkle your eyebrows and you're thinking, right? You're trying to come up with a answer to that question or come up with a great way to explain whatever the answer is. And if they're misreading this, then it's going to really, 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 really mess things up. And it's kind of cool when you look at the actual PET scans and the portions of the brain that are active. It's very, very different between the male and the adolescent. So this amygdala is something else that's very important about the amygdala, is that it's responsible for sensing danger. And this is a vital role for survival. I've talked about this before. You're walking out to give you an example, you're walking out to your car late at night after you've watched a movie, and you notice this kind of dark figure walking toward you. At that very moment, 80,000 times faster, right? The amygdala kicks into gear and in a split second tells you to move at a quicker pace and get back to the building. Now, once you're back at the building, your prefrontal cortex can activate and reasons what your best plan of action is. You can decide to wait there. Let's just say you decide to wait until you can walk out with a group or a security guard for safety to your car, which is what you do. Then the next morning, you're listening to the news and you hear that at that very same parking lot, several cars were being broken into. In that situation, that is what the amygdala is for. It could have possibly just saved your life. The problem is from the adolescent brain's perspective, they have a tendency to misread emotion, right? So that's the first thing. They have a tendency to misread emotion. They respond with a lightning fast, 80,000 times faster emotional response of the amygdala. And that prefrontal cortex is not completely wired and ready to use. So to use their ability to reason. Now add in the last part, that they have a hard time expressing their feelings into words because of the corpus callosum. So you're starting to see how all of these immature pictures or immature portions of the brain that aren't developed yet, how they're all coming into play and what a mess it can lead to. Because they don't really know what they are feeling, what they just did, then what happens? Frustration and bursts of emotion. And that is something that we see happen all the time. with with our kids. So it's quite interesting when these faces are something else that's pretty interesting about the adolescents reading the faces and the emotions of people. They not only did they misread them, and they often labeled the faces of, you know, sadness, surprise. They often misread it as anger or fear. So they're misreading what the emotions are on your face. And the adults, because they're using the emotional portion and not the thinking portion of the brain, right? You're going to have, it's just a big, huge accident waiting to happen. And as adults, we kind of sit there and go, well, what are we supposed to do, right? How do we deal with this, right? How do we process this and become the best parent that we possibly can? Well, the first step is what you're doing right now, taking in the information and really thinking, how can I apply this? Think about what's going on in what have there been moments that you can relate to based on the description that I just gave you? Have there been times when you have looked at your child and said something very simple? Maybe they've walked in the door from school and you've said to them, you know, hey, how was your day at school? And they give you this look and run up the stairs to their room crying. You know, we've all kind of had that situation, and you're kind of like, interesting, what just happened? Now you know. So that's the first thing, is really educating yourself and understanding the implications of the brain, the portions of the brain that are not quite developed yet, and how that is affecting their ability to reason. I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, next week we're going to talk a lot about the hormones and how hormones come into play with all of this. But that's, like I said, that's a whole show in itself. So we're not going to cover that today. But a couple of tips that you can just take away from this particular topic of the portions of the brain that just are not developed yet. So real quick recap, and then we're going to go to break, and then we're going to talk about that application or some things that you can actually do. So main portions of the brain that are affected or not completely developed or wired or myelinated during the teen years are your prefrontal cortex, the executive center of your brain, the portion of your brain that is responsible for reasoning, judgment, controlling impulses, rational thinking, problem solving, decision making, understanding consequences of your actions, understanding other people. All of this is that prefrontal cortex, not finished developing until around the age of 23 and not completely myelinated until almost 30. Then you have your corpus callosum, so the bridge of information between right and left hemisphere, still under development. All the lanes are not open. A portion of the brain that is responsible for regulating emotion is being myelinated during the teen years. That's something else to take into consideration. The amygdala, fight, flight response, arousal, aggression, and automated fear responses are not, this portion moves 80,000 times faster than the thinking brain, and it is not connected to the thinking brain. Like I said, the wiring is there. It is that the main breaker is just not flipped on yet. So we're going to take off. We're going to go to our last commercial break of the morning. And then when we come back, I'm going to give you just some very practical suggestions on how to apply this particular information. And we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to discuss more on the next Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hey everyone, this is Julie Brain Lady Anderson here, and I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the YBM, or Your Best Mind University. The Your Best Mind certification program has been developed to change lives one brain at a time. You see, it's our vision at Your Best Mind that by providing an educational and uplifting message to individuals about their unique brain gifts, we can help them to maximize the power of their brain and personality, not in a metaphysical way, but with science, the science behind the psychology of the brain-personality connection. This is the core of what we teach at Your Best Mind. However, as you can imagine, taking this life-changing message to the world is quite a large undertaking. And that's why we created the Your Best Mind certification program. This program is a compilation of over 2 decades of training, research, hands-on application, and preparation by yours truly, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am the founder and CEO of Your Best Mind and the developer of the Brain Your Best Mind certification program. And I have put together the gems of my education to create a remarkable program to pass on to those who are up to the challenge. So if you want to increase your certifications, if you want to add the most powerful certification to your bio and help me take this message to the world, then please contact me at info@yourbestmindonline.com and put certification program in the subject bar. And we'll set up a time to talk real soon.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the last segment of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I hope this has been just really interesting for you and helpful, more importantly, helpful to help you to really understand what's going on and what's not going on, what's wired and what's not wired in the brain of your teen. And maybe you're not quite at the teen years yet with your kids, but this is information that you can kind of put into your memory circuits and come back and listen to when you have the opportunity to, because it is very fascinating information. Lots of great stuff coming out of the field of neuroscience that we can use to in our lives to live healthier, happier lives and have healthier and happier relationships. And of course, the relationship with our teenagers is one of the most, any of our close family circuits. Those are just the most important thing to really to foster and to nurture. And that's what we want, because we want our teenagers to grow up to be healthy, happy individuals and adults. And a lot of that is going to rely on you and how you handle these situations. So hopefully by understanding what's going on and what's not going on will help you to be a better parent during this time. Now, practical applications. So we've got, you know what what's happening and what's not happening now. But how do you actually apply this? What are some really good tips? That's what I want to share with you right now. The first one is, I tell all my parents when I'm consulting with them, you need to act as the prefrontal cortex for your child. It is not there yet. And because it's not completely wired yet, because it's not completely up and running and active, you need to act as a surrogate prefrontal cortex. So when it comes to reasoning activities, consequences for one's actions, you may need to really spell it out for them in a very calm manner. So for example, let's say instead of saying something along the lines when you're talking about getting homework done, instead of saying, if you don't do good on your schoolwork, you're not going to be able to get into college, and in turn, you're going to fail to find a well-paying job. It's logical. A leads to B leads to C. That works because we have a prefrontal cortex, but they don't. So they might take this as responding with emotion. My parents are disappointed in me. I'm in trouble again. You can see how chaotic just a simple statement can be to someone whose brain is not completely up and running yet. So instead of doing it that way, you might kind of ask, draw them out, help them to reason. What do you love? What do you really love doing? What do you think you might enjoy doing as a career? Allow them the time to process, allow them the time to answer that question, and then commend them for that, whatever that career is. I don't care if they tell you they want to be a rock star. Remember, they're not going to process if you react overly emotionally, they're not going to respond, right? So commend them, and then perhaps follow up with a statement like, I wonder what type of specialized classes you might need to pursue that career. Maybe then at that point, you can even list a few for them and reason with them. So it might really help if you ace this math class, because that's going to be really help to push you closer to the career you want to do. You've not told them that they have to get their homework done, focus on their grades, or go study, but you've walked them through that reasoning process of, here's your goal, and here's the steps that you need to logically take to get to that goal. And because they don't have the prefrontal cortex, they can't do that yet. So you do it for them. You become that prefrontal cortex. You always control your emotions and your feelings, and you engage your prefrontal cortex before you interact in a highly emotional situation. And this is the hardest thing for us as parents to do, especially when it is something that we have discussed with them time and again and again and again. We shut down, we get stressed out. And when you get stressed out, it is your prefrontal cortex that shuts down first. So then if you're highly emotional and you're stressed out, your prefrontal cortex isn't engaged, their prefrontal cortex isn't wired, you've got just this huge, you've got a powder keg waiting to go off. So taking that deep breath, I remember this growing up, it was always, take a deep breath and count to 10. Do that. Stop and think. Actually visualize your prefrontal cortex just going on fire with ideas and thoughts, and then you become that prefrontal cortex for your kids, for your teenagers. A second good thing to do is be clear about the message that you want to convey. Remember the whole section that I talked about in the way they scan the brains and teenagers misread a lot of the emotions, the emotional expressions on faces. Keep that in mind and remember that they might have a tendency to do that when you say something to them, and it could be something very simple. So use wisdom and tact to deliver any message that you need to you want them to get and to process, and do so in a clear and understandable way. Start off conversations with positive emotional reinforcement, using the right emotional tone in your voice. Watch your body language. Remember, only 10%, and depending on what expert you talk to, 10 to 15% of communication is the actual word. The rest of the communication is through tonality of those words. It's through facial expressions. It's through body language. So pay attention to what you're doing ahead of time and start off those conversations. Always try to be on the positive. Always try to be on the positive. So another example, if you're giving counsel, let's say there's something that they need to do or you need to address with them. It's you might say something like, I'm so impressed with the way that you're handling all of this schoolwork. You have so much more to juggle than what I did when I was a teenager, and I am really impressed with what you're doing. But I need to make sure that you pay attention to your responsibilities here at home. You know, the garbage is often forgotten. Maybe it would help you if you just take it out every day as soon as you get home. Then it's done, taken care of, out of the way. So that's just an example of something that, or a way that you can handle a certain information. Start with praise. Start with acknowledging what they're going through in their life, remembering that their brain just isn't where our brain is. Okay. Another great tip, be specific about the expectations or rules that you set down. Avoid allowing assumptions to be made. Without this prefrontal cortex up and, you know, fully ready for action, they're going to have a hard time connecting the dots. Literally, they're going to have a hard time connecting the dots. So a basic statement like be nice to your brother, that leaves too much room for interpretation. That's too broad. Be nice. What does that mean? Smile at him every morning when he gets, you know, make sure that I sit next to him on the bus. What does that mean? There's just too much, you know, too open for them. They're not going to get the details of what you want. So be clear and specific. Say something like, being nice to your brother means no hitting, no yelling. Be very specific about what your expectations are in that situation. Instead of saying something to the little brother about his older sister, respect your sister's privacy. You might say, because again, that's, well, what does that mean? You know, what even is privacy? What, you know, privacy for one person is completely different than privacy for another person. So their teen brain or their young brain, because this works for, you know, kids that are 5 or 6 years old as well, be specific. Say, don't go into your sister's room unless you're invited. Do not read the texts on her phone. Do not use her iPad or her gadgets without first asking and getting the approval. Be specific. Be specific. Engage, I mentioned this before, engage your prefrontal cortex before responding, right? Often when frustration is at its peak when dealing with the emotional and oftentimes volatile, irrational adolescence, you lose your ability to use your prefrontal cortex. So make sure that you stop, take a few breaths, like I said earlier. Okay, so those are some great tips. I'm going to give what we're going to talk about. Let's discuss a little bit more of what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about the hormonal effect on the brain. So as if all of this brain development or lack thereof, complete wiring in the brain is not enough to really cause a lot of stuff to happen in the teen years and a lot of challenges to happen in the teen years, you now also have the hormonal flux, and this will bring its own set of issues and its own set of challenges to raising the teenager. And that is what we are going to be talking about a lot next year. What are the effects of the hormones on the adult adolescent brain? That's going to affect adolescents in general, but we'll also talk about the difference in the hormones between the boy and the girl, because we know that in terms of sex, it's different what the brains, how the brains develop and what they're processing is different because of the testosterone versus the estrogen and how that all affects the brain and the maturing sexual brain. So we're going to talk about that next week. And at the end of the show next week, I'm also going to give you some more great tips. Love tips, right? We can always use tips. All right. That's going to end the program for today on Parenting the Teen Brain Part 1. I want everybody to remember, please join me in about 20 minutes, just a little over 20 minutes on Facebook Live. So go to facebook.com/purplebrainlady. That is my business page for my public figure page for Brain Lady Speaker and for Julie Brain Lady. Join me there in about 20 minutes. If you have questions about things that I've talked about on the show this morning, you'll be able to ask them there. Be sure you are on that particular page because that's the page that I'm going to be watching any of the feedback and questions from. I will share the live on many of my other pages, but that's the one that I'm really going to be paying the closest attention to in terms of feedback and what people might be saying or questions that they might be having. So join me. Join me in about 20 minutes, and let's have some fun interacting and talking about this amazing thing, the brain, and what it is set up like and what it's going through in the teen brain, part one, Facebook Live. All right. Also, I always, you know, I love feedback. I love to hear information from you. I love to know what you're thinking. If you have a great idea for a guest, or you just read a great book, or maybe I talked about something about the teen brain, you're like, man, I just read this article in some magazine and it was talking about the teen brain. Julie, have you seen this? Shoot me an email. Send me an email. Send it to info@yourbestmindonline.com or info@brainladyspeaker.com. Either one of those, I will get the message. And you can find any of my resources for any of these products that I talk about on the show, or if you want to set up appointments for consultations to get more information and practical application for your specific household, go to yourbestmindonline.com. That's where you're going to find all the products and services. Always stay connected with me on all the social media outlets. The Purple Brain Lady, so facebook.com/purplebrainlady, like that page. Go to also facebook.com/yourbestmindonline. We post different things on both those pages. I'll be doing a lot more brain games on the yourbestmindonline.com or the Your Best Mind Online page on Facebook. So that'll be fun. If you're a Twitter person, if you like tweeting, then go to follow me at Brain Lady on Twitter. Instagram is Brain Lady Julie. LinkedIn is Brain Lady Julie. And Instagram is Brain Lady Julie. So lots of ways that you can connect with me on the social media outlets. And once again, thank you so very much for taking your time to be with me today. I know that your time is valuable, and I appreciate so very much that you took that to spend with me. And hopefully we will see you over on Facebook in a few minutes, and we can interact some more for a little while. Also, a couple other announcements I forgot about. One is, you heard the conference commercial, the eWomen Network conference commercial that I played earlier in the program. I am very privileged to be one of their speakers at their annual conference in about a month, the first week of August. If you want more information about that conference and you would like my input on it, then please reach out to me and ask me. I would love to give you some feedback. I'm going to be talking about using your brain, wanting success, how to use your brain to achieve that. Lots of great information, and we'll be talking a lot about the brain-personality connection. So it is the most powerful personality assessment tool out there that we'll be talking about. So join me there. All right, everyone. Thank you so much again. And until next week, just simply enjoy every moment.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.
This is the EWN Radio Network.